From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of July, 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at agmarket.net. We'll be joined by Frayne Olson, agricultural economist at North Dakota State University Extension. I'll ask him about that very low season's average cash price, $4.20, for the 2025 corn harvest. And then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast with Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics. And along the way, I'll remind you to sign up for tomorrow's webinar with the Farm Dog team as it's related to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act and the changes it has made in both crop insurance and commodity titles. These may have an impact on your marketing. You'll want to be sure to get yourself signed up. The program runs from noon until 1 p.m. tomorrow, and you can find all the information on that webinar on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn today, $4 even, up 4 cents. December at 418 on its settlement, up 5 3/4. In March, 5 3/4 higher. Settlement price at 434 3/4. August beans down 3 1/4 at $10.01. November at 1007, down 0.25 cents. Here to talk about these numbers in the USDA report from Friday is Kurt Kimmel of agmarket.net. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us. Pick up with that report on Friday. We can dismiss it fairly quickly. We'll come back to it too. And a bit with Frayne Olson from North Dakota State University. But the marketplace looked at it and said, yeah, we thought those numbers were what they were going to be, even though they were a little friendly, I guess.
Yeah, when you look at the big picture here, old corn 1.3, new corn 1.66 is relatively tight by all means. They kind of viewed that and shook it off from better expectations for this new crop. Old crop beans unchanged at 350. New crop beans raises up 15 million to 310. So, you know, it's one of those situations where it's kind of a kick in the teeth when you look at a little tighter supply demand balance sheet at the market that went lower. A lot of scratching their heads there. But looking fast forward in through here, staff news crop conditions reports continue to show the corn crop 74% good to excellent. And the soybean crop improving 1% to 67% good to excellent. So the corn's 6 points above a year last year. The beans are behind about 1% in that good to excellent category. But you can break the good to excellent category poor or very poor down and kind of justify any type of position. But the main thing is on corn, particularly as we move into this week here, about 50% of the crops moving into pollination. And traders and are locking in a higher yield than the 181. It's an extra 87 million bushels of corn to work with. So yields, kind of the discussion right now. As far as on the demand, boy, it's kind of hard to really step in and fine-tune it. But yield is continued to be the benchmark. And the market today actually shook off that news. We saw corn finish 3 to 5 cents higher. Actually, a new contract low, closed higher, closed at last week's high. So I don't know if you can really key price reversal to the upside, but most definitely the overnight lows going to be supported through here. Beans finished just a little soft. They just couldn't hold their gains. Some of the emphasis for the turnaround is, one is we've got another hot, dry forecast, July 19th through the 24th. Expect a ridge take place. Then secondly, too, I guess social media gets the star for the day, whether it really helped or not. There's a lot of coverage on Missouri and Arkansas, one particular company, one particular number, just did not pollinate at all with the good weather they saw.
So we did drop out for just a second. What I didn't hear from you was what the trade was discussing as it's related to an increase in yield. I just didn't hear the yield number. I heard the 181, but now are they at 183, 184? What number were they using?
All the above there. I think a lot's 183 to 185. That 185 is the highest we've seen in through here. And whenever you just increase one bushel per acre, that's going to put an extra 87 million bushels to the supply-demand balance sheet. But I think we're trading 184 here at the present time, subject to change here through the next 30 days.
So are you expecting that this contract low and you discussed the not quite outside up day that we had, do you think that contract low can find traction as a possible low for this marketplace going into the fall?
I think it could be a short-term low here over the near term and put in a so-called little bit of a bounce or a retracement. But it's going to be awful hard for the market to sustain some strength here. One, we still have some old crop inventories to move. And two, we're going to see we're seeing harvest take place in Texas, but the Delta is going to pick up here in a couple of weeks. We're going to have plenty of supply on the market here as we move into the next month or two.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it, Kurt.
Very good. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. Now, on that last note about the supply that has to move out of the old crop, we do discuss that with Frayne Olson in just a few moments. So stay with us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. And don't forget, you should sign up for tomorrow's One Big Beautiful Bill Act Farm Policy Impact webinar with the FarmDoc team. That starts at noon. You can find all the information on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Frayne Olson, agricultural economist at North Dakota State University with Extension in Fargo, now joins us. Thank you, Frayne, for taking some time with us. I'd like to cover a couple of things. Of course, we had a WASDE, the July report on Friday of last week. We have some tariffs to discuss, potentially, that the president is thinking about putting on the largest importer of corn, Mexico, starting August 1st. So let's start with what the WASDE report told us about the marketplace when it was released. It should have been bullish, however, or a little more friendly, I suppose. However, the marketplace dismissed it fairly quickly. What did you see in it?
Yes. So, there's two ways to think about the numbers that come out from the WASDE. One is to say, well, what's the numbers this month relative to last month? So what was the change? Which we spend a lot of time focusing on and making sure everybody understands those adjustments. But for a lot of the market analysts and traders, they've already made those adjustments in their heads. And so they're looking at it saying, well, what do we expect to see versus what we actually saw? So for example, the trade was expecting to see some small adjustments in ending stocks and for both corn and beans, and we got those. And the numbers coming out of USDA were very similar to what the trade was expecting. And so this business of what are we comparing it to becomes an issue. And so what I always try and explain to everybody is, what we had last month is great, but if the trade is expecting some adjustments, are those adjustments coming out of USDA similar to what they were expecting to see? And that's usually when we get some big shifts or adjustments in the marketplace, is when expectations are different from what the actual numbers are. And so when we compare those, the USDA numbers came out very close to what the trade was expecting to see.
On that adjustment side, just looking at the corn balance sheets, there will be an adjustment from old crop to new crop of about 300 million bushels in terms of carryout, from 1.34, which I think most would say is a fairly tight carryout for the old crop, to 1.66 billion for the new crop. And that's, I guess, a fair carryout. How do you view that and the transition from this marketing year to the next marketing year?
Right, and we're in that stage of our marketing season where we're kind of balancing two sets of numbers. As you mentioned, we've got the old crop numbers. We've got grain in the bin. We've got grain in the system from last year. We're trying to say, well, how thin are those supplies going to be before we hit the new crop, as we get into the harvest for the new crop season? And the old crop numbers coming in, so the amount of inventory we have in the bin, whether it be on farm or in commercial storage, is a little bit on the tight side. It's not desperately tight. We're not, you know, completely freaking out over this, but it is a bit on the tight side. And so if you're a corn user, a consumer of corn right now, whether it be livestock or an ethanol plant or an exporter, to get those supplies to the new crop harvest is going to be a little bit tricky. So they're trying to ration the old crop a little bit differently than the new crop. And most of the folks, especially, you know, the farm managers around the area, are looking at the new crop numbers and saying, man, it looks like we have a pretty darn good corn crop as well as a pretty good bean crop coming in 2025 harvest, but we have to get there first. And so there's this difference in pricing. When do you need the crop? I mean, when do you need your bushels as a consumer? And then what kind of supplies are we looking at? And the new crop supplies, the crop that's still growing in the field, those look to be much, much stronger. I'm not going to say that they're burdensome, but we have a much, much, much more comfortable supply chain for the new crop than we do for the old crop. Because as I was looking back through the numbers, you know, we've seen higher estimates for carryout at this time of the year. You know, if you look back a couple of years, we were expecting some really, really big carryout above 2 billion bushels. And so we're below that right now. But it's still much more comfortable than we saw in the old crop numbers, which are getting a little bit tight, mainly because of some pretty good export sales.
So I do want to talk about the stocks to use ratio. This is the number, I think, that comes in giving some kind of context to the $4.20 cash price that USDA is using for the coming year, which most producers are going to say, well, gosh, how could it be 420 if when we had 2 billion bushels, we were $485? What's the difference here? And stocks to use ratio really just gives you the supply and the demand both and kind of an estimate. And it's telling us, I guess, that we're pretty adequately supplied at this point looking forward.
Correct. And so there's two things going on. So when I look back historically and do kind of the analysis, what I find is that when we get really tight, there's kind of a tipping point. When we start getting really tight, we tend to see really high prices, a lot of price volatility. And then there's a point where it seems like the markets get much more comfortable. We start to see prices falling and a lot more price stability. And that tipping point, from my math, is about 10% carryover stocks. So if you have less than 10% carryover stocks on corn, things get a little bit tight and the market gets a little bit nervous. And it's like, well, we got to make sure that we don't run out. And on the flip side, we get over 10%, the comfort falls in and people become less anxious. The other thing that's going on, though, in this year that's a little bit different than we've seen in the past, we tend to focus supply-demand or your stocks-to-use ratio is really focused on domestic production and consumption. And for corn, you know, our exports are, you know, 15%, 18% of our total use. But this year, the Brazilian crop, in particular the Brazilian safrinha crop, is looking exceptionally good. And the safrinha crop, or what they call the winter crop, accounts for about 75% of the total bushels produced in Brazil. So their safrinha crop is looking very good, which really also signals we're going to have a lot of competition in the international market. So yes, we have most of our use for corn in the U.S. is domestic in the livestock sector or in ethanol, but we do rely on that export market to be able to get rid of a pretty significant number of bushels. And it's that export market I think some of the traders are looking at and saying, we have to be price competitive versus the Brazilians to be able to make those sales. And that's why I think they're getting a little bit more anxious and saying, you know, this is going to be a competitive export season for the next several months.
Okay, so now let's talk about prices going forward, looking at the December contract. And we are... approaching that $4 level, around 4:15, 4:16 for the day. We have made new contract lows as early today, in fact. And I'm wanting to know, when you look at this marketplace, is there room to push this market to 380 through the harvest season when we're going across the scale and having to put bushels in the elevator with an in charge? And how should producers think about those bushels?
So that's a really tricky question. and it really does depend upon the individual producer. But here's the setup I'm concerned about. How could we get to those low levels, especially coming into harvest? What series of events would have to occur? Well, first, we'd have to have continued favorable weather conditions through the end of the pollination season and through the end of the growing season. So we start getting really good test weights. Our bushel counts start to come up. We get big cob length as well as cob thickness. All of that can start adding to yield. The other thing I'm a little bit concerned about is I do know, at least up here in the north, we still have a lot of old crop corn in the bins. And what I'm a little concerned is, given the fact that we've got what looks to be a very good new crop corn coming in, that we're going to have to try and clean those bins out, at least to have some storage space to be able to keep the combines running, as well as to try and find enough room for everything. So we have a really good corn crop. We have a really good soybean crop. On-farm storage, I think, is going to be at a premium, which means we might get a flush of sales starting in probably late July or first part of August to try and get those bins cleaned out. That's typically historically at a time where we don't have a lot of export demand. It's a little bit harder to try and find room for everything. The elevators are also going to be in the same position where they're not going to want to have a lot of old crop corn in storage coming into harvest, because they're going to have as much working room and flexibility as possible. So I get a little bit concerned that if we start having this flush of farm level sales coming into harvest, that we have to push those through the system before we get into the harvest months and the peak of that harvest rush. So I get a little bit concerned that not only from a future standpoint, but also from a basis standpoint, we might start seeing some of the basis soften as we come into harvest, assuming now again that the weather conditions hold and that our expectations and our viewpoints about what yield is going to be maintained. And I think the bias right now is for a very good crop, and it might be getting larger depending upon what happens again in August and with temperatures and rainfall.
Thank you much. I appreciate it. And we'll talk with you again in another month.
All right. Always a pleasure, Todd.
That's Frayne Olson, agricultural economist from North Dakota State University Extension. He's based in Fargo. If you'd like to hear his comments again, you can do that on our website. Look for the Closing Market Report today at willag.org, willag.org, or search it out in your favorite podcast applications by name, Closing Market Report. If you're at our website, you'll be able to listen to not only today's Closing Market Report, but if you hit the podcast tab, you'll see the Closing Market Report for the last 6 days as well. That's all at willag.org. Let's check the weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. Mark Russo is here. He's with Everstream Analytics. Hello, Mark. Thanks for being with us again on a Monday.
Hi there, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the Corn Belt. Give me the short-term forecast. We have had some rain, quite a bit, actually, in some places. Who missed it, if anybody, and what can we expect over the next, 3 to 5 days?
Yeah, certainly northern Illinois, northern and central Illinois were the winners here with the rain activity here over the weekend or late last week as well. And that was the area that needed it, considering the drier conditions that were in place from late June into early July. So that dryness has basically been solved. And looking forward, there continue to be opportunities for rain, not only in Illinois, but across much of the Corn Belt. Now, a few areas of Indiana and Ohio could use more rain here coming up, and they do have chances. So overall here, rainfall over the next couple of weeks looks to register not that far from normal. So for any remaining dry pockets, they have really good opportunities to improve. As for temperatures coming up, for the next, basically from now through the end of the month, we're not seeing any yield-threatening heat. However, we are keeping an eye on some longer-range computer model guidance suggesting that temperatures will be quite toasty here, and some heat actually building in right around August 1st. So something to keep an eye on, but we have a ways to go there.
What is it that tells you that might be the case?
A couple of different things, Todd. Number one, in terms of computer model guidance, just in the past 24 hours, we saw pretty strong signal in all of the guidance of this kind of broader or stronger ridging of high pressure across more of the southern half of the U.S., but that does build into the Midwest. And because of the stronger signal in guidance, that definitely has caught our attention here. And then also, we're seeing across the entire northern hemisphere, actually this strengthening of ridging, but being more displaced south of what it was back, you know, over the past several weeks or even back in the June as well. And so that also is something that has signaled potentially some changes on the way as we approach August 1st.
Now, because you talked about this being across the whole of the Northern Hemisphere, does it change anything in Europe at all?
It is. For the next couple of weeks or the second half of July, things are looking improved here in terms of rainfall and reducing the anomalous temperatures or heat that has influenced and still will influence Europe this week. But the overall pattern for the next 2 weeks, it's becoming more troughy, and that is allowing more opportunities for rain and also beginning to cool temperatures down and helping to stabilize our summer crops, especially corn, which has been hit here recently by heat and some of the lowest soil moisture for this time of year of the past 20 years.
So that covers France. If you're doing corn, then probably Serbia, Yugoslavia, those places as well.
Yeah, both in Western and Eastern Europe, France, Germany, Poland, down through Romania, Bulgaria. The only area within those countries named that at least they won't improve or stabilize as much as the rest, that would be portions of Romania down into Bulgaria.
Thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
You're welcome, Todd.
That is Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world. You can find and listen to our programming online anytime you'd like. The address is willag.org, willag.org, where right now, and don't forget to do this, you may sign up for tomorrow's noon to 1 p.m. Farm Doc webinar related to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act and how it will change crop insurance, SCO, ARC, and PLC. You want to join us at that time. Again, that's noon with the Farm Doc team, the agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. A webinar for you as it's related to agriculture and farm policy and changes that came with the One Big Beautiful Bill Act that was signed into law by President Trump. Do that at willag.org. The webinar is tomorrow from noon to 1 p.m. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.